Excuse me, this is the operator. I would just like to inform all participants that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Okay, hello everybody and welcome to the PEDNA call today on the 7th of June, 2011. On the call today we have Cheryl Langdonor, Siva Subramanian Muthusami, Paul Diaz, Alan Greenberg, James Bedell, Ron Wickersham, Michaela Nalan, and Tatiana Kremtsova. From staff, we have Glenda Sancheri, Marika Koenigs, Margie Millam, and Christina Nordstrom. Apologies from Mason Cole, Olivia Crepin-Leblanc, Barry Cobb, Jeffrey Eckhouse, Oliver Holt, and Karim Mohamed Atomani. And can I please also remind you to state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thanks, and over to you, Alan.
Thank you, Christina. All right, this is likely to be the last full call, though conceivably we could have a short call next week if necessary. Marika, what do we have on the agenda other than to review the notes that I sent out and the comments that Michael made? Is there anything else?
This is Marika. I didn't receive anything else from anyone else in the working group. I did receive some feedback from compliance on their section in the report, and I think they suggested, you know, taking out some things that we in the report said were going to happen but actually didn't happen. So I'll update that, but there's nothing nothing really new there. So I think that's something that will be done in the next iteration. But as I said, I didn't receive anything else apart from what you sent and what Michael sent. And you can find it on the right-hand side in the Adobe Connect. I've posted the two emails there, basically.
All right. And that's a disturbing comment in its own right, that compliance had hoped things would be done that didn't get done, but we won't focus on that right now. All right. Marika, are there any other items in the report other than the ones I put in my email that need to be reviewed on this call? Were there any other controversial ones that were left in that no one else has commented on them, so I'm assuming other people at least have done a cursory look and haven't commented?
So I don't think so.
Okay. Then we'll just go through these. All right, my first one is at line 1200 and something, and that's about 35-40% into the document, if you want to scroll down.
This is Marika. While people are scrolling, I do have a question in relation to the second paragraph of your email, and third, actually, on the reorganization. And I think that's something I said in my email, indeed, the working group discussed and I think agreed to reorganize them, but my question is, who is going to do the reorganization and how, or do people prefer, like me, to have a go at that? And then, you know, then my question would be, how would people like to see these organized?
Oh, well, I can answer, but other people, please speak up. I know I did an ordering of them for the PowerPoint presentation in wherever we were, San Francisco, which tried to group them together by functional use or by the the area that they attack. And so I think that's probably a good start. That might need some refining because I did that 2:00 in the morning one day. But that was certainly my take on how we should approach it. I'm not saying that particular organization was the ultimate one, but I think that's probably a good basis to start, assuming other people are agreeing that we should reorder them. Comments, thoughts? Nobody has any particular ones. I just think, to someone who isn't focused on the charter, and I don't think most people who are looking to understand what it is we're recommending are going to focus on the charter, I think grouping them together makes more sense than, you know, trying to relate them to the charter questions. I think that we need a parenthetical or something in each one saying what it relates to. And I did make another comment later on, I think, that if we do this, which I hope we will, in the review of the comments for the last proposed report, we probably need some sort of identification when we're talking about recommendation 5, you know, what the current number is if it's changed. So that just needs to be sort of some level of parenthetical added to each of the recommendations in the review. Okay, Marika, not hearing any problems with that, then I'll I'll certainly look at the PowerPoint and send you later on today a list of what I think makes sense, but feel free to adjust it or question it if you wish. And I'll send it to the list, so anyone else has any questions, please go just raise them. Okay, Marika, was there anything else in the before we go on to the specifics?
No.
Okay. So 1201, we had the wording saying the working group would like to put forward. I think we are putting it forward at this point. So I think we should just be more direct in saying puts forward or is putting forward. It's just a grammatical thing because we're not really asking permission or stating it as a hope at that point. 1212 this is the one on an implementation team, if one should exist. And the sentence on providing feedback just says provide feedback. It doesn't say to whom. I presume that meant on the to staff implementation. The next sentence implies GNSO, which I don't think sounds a bit unwieldy. But Marika?
Yeah, it isn't, Marika. The intent of that is, as there's no formal process yet, as you know, new PDP hasn't been approved yet on the creation of an implementation review team, and also taking into account that there might be some time between the council adopting these recommendations, the board adopting the recommendations, and before there actually is an implementation plan, which might mean as well that this working group might no longer be in existence or certain members might not have an interest to participate again. I tried to build in a bit of a that the council is basically the reference point for saying how this feedback should be provided, either by trying to reform the working group or having an implementation review team, or providing direct advice to the GNSO council. So that's the way I thought would work best, as having the council as the body managing that, instead of assuming that the working group or individual members are still interested in doing that work by the time an implementation plan might be developed.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I just had problems with the reference to giving advice to the council. I think it's fine to say that there are individuals on this working group who remain available. That this is not slavery. We can't guarantee they will be available 7 months from now. Should the GNSO council choose to form an implementation support team or something like that. I'm not sure review is the right word, but I was only quibbling with the phrase saying advice to the GNSO council. I agree that it should be the responsibility of the GNSO council to use the word charter, because I don't want to get into that, but to put together such a group.
But I guess then it's, as well, it's a question of whether it's official GNSO Council advice on the implementation, because of course, I think any implementation plan typically is put out for public comment, so there's nothing preventing individual members to comment on whatever they think is right or wrong. So the reason why it might go through the GNSO Council to give it more weight and more formal approval and saying this is what members of the working group or a separate team that has been formed to look at this implementation things, and this has been endorsed by the GNSO Council as being our position on the implementation. That was more the thinking around that structure from my side, but people feel more comfortable in structuring another way, and I'm happy to change that.
Yeah, I guess the GNSO Council will do what it wants to at this point. It's just that the concept of giving advice to the council, which the council then has to formally pass on to staff, puts a level of onerousness on it that I don't think was the original intent. The original intent was to at least alert staff if what they are implementing was not the original intent of the recommendations. So I guess I'd like to see it less formal than more. But let's not belabor it on the call. Let's try to come up with some simple words that will be vague enough that that everyone has a good level of comfort with it. 1255. Yeah, that was the one our current wording says that this is talking about the blackout period, not the blackout, the period in which the domain is not working, the required one during the 8-day period. And it says the domain must be renewable by the registered name holder at expiration until the end of the period. And there's almost an implication there that it means it must not be renewable afterwards. Am I over-reading this? I guess I'd like to hear from a registrar. Or do we need to say at least until the end of that period? Any thought from James or Paul or Michele? Go ahead, Michele.
What line am I looking at?
Line number 1255.
And what's the problem?
It says the domain must be renewable by the registered name holder at expiration until the end of that period. Is there an implication there that it must not be renewable afterwards, in which case we should say at least until the end of the period?
I'm not a lawyer, and I don't see a problem. Personally, I don't see a problem with this. But if somebody else has a problem with this, I mean, I don't know.
I was raising issues that, you know, maybe of concern. I don't feel strongly about it. James?
Go ahead, Michele.
No, James, go ahead.
I just wanted to echo what he said there. I don't see a problem with it with the way it is written now, but if there's something I'm not getting that it could be too restrictive, then I don't care if we add in a lease, or I would stay away from a word like lease, because I think, you know, we could say something the same way by saying at a minimum, and I think that translates a little bit better, but I don't care even if we keep it the way it is now.
Okay, then let's just leave it. Next one is 1258, which is, I think there was a comment from one of the comments that pointed to the term saying that it must resolve to its original DNS resolution path and asked, which one are we talking about? Do we need to define that with any more specificity? Marika, do you remember, did we say that the answer to that one, I think, unless I'm imagining the whole thing, did we say that, yes, we should be more specific, or did we decide when analyzing the comments that it wasn't of any great import?
This is Marika. I would need to look back, but I think we did say we would look at this and see if it would make sense to change it, but I don't think we firmly committed on changing it, so I haven't seen any suggestions on this, so...
I'm worried that if we try to come up with words to define it, we're going to end up in a deeper pit than we are without them. Ron?
Yes, this is Ron Wilkerson. Would it, rather than cause, how about using the word will restore the domain name to resolve to its, so that that describes how it was before they made the change that we're trying to reverse?
One second.
So rather than will cause, will restore the domain name.
Yeah, I'm just worried that if the confusing part, possibly confusing part, is that if the domain had been intercepted by the registrar to go to a parked page, as is common, and then it's blacked out, is the original the parked page or the one the user's original one? I know our intent is the user's original one. I'm not sure
restore before expiration, if you want to clarify. It doesn't go to a parked page before it expires.
Okay, I can live with that. So what wording we're talking? We'll restore the domain name to resolve to the original original DNS resolution path in place prior to expiration. Does that capture it? Not hearing any no's. Let's pretend there is. Let's pretend it does and put it in. There will be a comment period. Marika, is it presumed that there will be a comment period, or is that standard that the GNSO does go out to a comment period at this point?
This is Marika. The GNSO doesn't.
Doesn't, okay. So it's the board comment period is the first one that would come up.
Correct.
Okay. So whatever we're putting in is cast in stone. I think the words I just used are okay, but let's, Marika, how about putting it in the draft and we'll highlight it and make sure that other people read it and make sure it makes sense.
Just, Marika, just to confirm, the only thing we're adding at the end is just prior to expiration. Did I get that right?
I think Ron suggested that we change the word will cause and to will restore.
Okay.
It says we believe the work group believes that killing the domain site is the most effective method. My personal preference is to make it more. We didn't do any careful analysis to say it's the absolute best one. I don't feel strongly about it though. Does anyone care? No one seems to. All right, 1276. Yeah, that was a sentence left over from the previous version. And I think we either need to delete it or phrase it in such a word that it's a note to the implementers. Because we're not going to change the final wording at this point, but the wording of the actual policy will need to do what it says. No complaints? Let's go on. 1387.
Sorry, Alan. We're just on 1276?
1276 is what we did. No. 1276-77.
Right, so there's agreement to delete that? Because I don't know if there's any issues, because I think there are exceptions in which cases you don't want someone
yeah,
to...
Yeah, no, I on retrospect, that's why I said I think it probably should be changed to be in the same tone as several of other statements saying that the implementers must take into account the exceptions.
So is this something then you would like to see added to that beginning statement?
Hold on. Let me go back to it.
Do you have... I'm trying to...
Ron, do you have something on this point?
Yes. This is Ron Wickersham. Rather than saying final wording, which says, you know, which is a note to ourselves to revise it, just say the implementers will need to exempt cases or the implementation policy... We'll need to exempt cases, putting the work off on them. Is that what you intended to do, or does that help?
I'm just looking at what the actual recommendation says.
It's in 1216 to 1220, where we talk about, you know, special consideration in the context of existing provisions, and I guess there we could, for example, add as well a consideration we need to be given as well, where you know, certain provisions do not apply in cases of fraud, and what else did we mention? Fraud, breach of registration agreement, or other substantive reasons. I think we can maybe just include that there, because I guess this might be the same for other provisions.
And it could apply to others as well. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. $13.87 was just a capitalization issue. And Marika, in 1255, you caught that there was an uppercase A instead of a lowercase in RNH at A, at E. It's in my note.
I'll look at that.
Okay. So 1387 is just the word name should be capitalized. 1391.
Sorry, that's my husband's alarm. It'll go off in a minute.
It doesn't work on that one. I think I just forgot to take that sentence out.
Yeah, okay. The whole sentence just goes, okay.
Policy.
Yeah. Yeah, 14, this is the, unless the registered name is deleted by the registrar, at least one post-expiration notice must be sent. I think we need an unless the name is actually renewed. No complaints there. James.
You're on 1412 and 1413?
Yeah.
Recommendation 12?
Yeah.
Why couldn't we say, unless the registered name is deleted by the registrar or deleted or renewed?
Yeah.
Is that get what you're after?
Yeah. We don't want them to send a spam notification out if the guy renewed 2 days ago.
Well, okay, that's fair, but I also don't want registrars to be penalized if they cross in the mail, so to speak.
Someone is queued up
for sending a renewal notice, and then somebody gets one after they've already pulled the trigger on the renewal. We don't want that to count as spam. So
I would hope. It may count as spam, but it's not not an infraction of a rule, I think.
I would say it's not spam. It's just a timing.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't think we can prevent those, you know. You probably all have at the bottom of your letter, if you've already paid the bill, then don't then forgive this mail.
Possibly.
That's customer relations, not violating a rule. All right, that wording is fine. I don't think there's a problem with that. It's renewed by the RNH at E. We don't want one of these transfer renewals to count.
Wait, what?
Well, when a name is transferred to another owner, you know, as part of an auction or something like that, that technically counts as a renewal.
Right.
So and that's not the renewal we're talking about.
Just a second here. Let me think on that one. Well, I mean, I don't know that we have to. It's like, unless the registered name is renewed or is deleted by the registrar.
Okay, I can live with that. That's fine.
Okay.
Kaylee?
Alan, I'm a bit concerned by what you just said.
Okay.
Why would a change of registrant infer a renewal?
Well, if a change of registrant after expiration, which is the process that is used, you know, for going along with auctions and such, is from a registry point of view or renewal? It is. There's no other way to look at it. It's a renewal which swaps an owner at the same time.
Okay.
But I don't think I really have a problem with it here. We could be more specific. I don't think we really need to, though. If no one else has an issue with it, let's keep on going.
Doesn't can you just confirm then? What is it? Is it, are we going to add or renewed? Or are we going to add or renewed by the RNHAE?
I we're pretty religiously using the registered name holder at expiration when it applies. So I think it does. It should apply here also.
Alan, this is James. I disagree with that. I think that we may be inadvertently making a material change here that we're not. I don't know that we're trying to, or if we're just.
I don't think we are.
So I just would say, unless the registered name is renewed, comma, or is deleted by the registrar, comma, I think that covers us, and I think it makes sure that we're not being overly restrictive in a way that registrars are accidentally going to trip over, over a new policy that they think is behaving in one way but is actually behaving in a separate way, or could be read to be behaving.
Okay. I have no real problem with it. Looking at it on the screen right now, I suspect it should have read, which we never put in, at least one notification to the RNHRE. I think we use that in other places, but I'm not sure. James, is that a material change in your mind?
No. I think here it might be. And I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying that it's...
Yeah, no, I'm not commenting on the renewed by. I'm saying... The sentence that says at least one notification, I'm wondering if after that it should say to the RNHRE.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think that should be there.
Yeah, I just want to make sure when we say renewed by, who's renewing it by, I want to make sure that we're not introducing a new restriction, maybe inadvertently introducing a new restriction that trips us up. Yep.
Yeah, I'm happy with just renewed or deleted by the registrar, as you suggested. But I would add to the RNA at E after the word notification. Ron, is your hand up again, or is that the old one?
Yes, that's up again. Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with the idea that renewal is a broad term, and I'm uncomfortable that there's an issue with saying renewed by the RH at
whatever.
Yeah. If this requires more thought, I'm uncomfortable with deciding it right now. I mean, can this be deferred till the next meeting if there is? Because I'll put as strong a objection as the parties who want to see it left nebulous or unrestricted. So I can give some more thought. I just can't come up with anything at the spur of the moment here.
Well, if that's the only change, I suppose we could make it next week if we have a meeting next week. We could do it on the mailing list. I'm not particularly worried about it because we're talking about the notification, the post-expiration notification. It's not saying who has the right to renew. We still have all of those clauses in place. And, we already have a clause. The requirement that the original registered name holder has the right, and it is a right now, I believe, once we've done this, the right to renew for, at least until the 8-day period has expired. So that implies no one else can renew it before then, because a renewal is a one-time event. So I don't really have a problem with it, but if you want to think about it, you certainly can. But
yeah, I can I can see the issue of it being since it's restricted to notification, then.
I don't really understand the problem that James has, but I don't think it's an issue. Paul?
Yeah, I don't think it's an issue either. I just wanted to be careful, that's all.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe overly careful.
Paul, I was going to ask, Alan, for the record, would you just read the sentence again as we've agreed?
Unless the registered name is renewed or is deleted by the registrar, at least one notification to the RNH at E, which includes renewal instructions, must be sent after expiration. Paul, who asked for it, says okay. And that's the end of my specific questions. I did have a a reference to the new GTLD contract. And Marika, do you want me to put a comment, formal comment period, or will you pass it on? This is the place where they call the RGP or registry grace period.
This is Marika. I can pass it on, but I think it's always helpful as well that it comes through the public comments as well.
I will do that in that case.
Yes.
I'm just wondering how many times various people looked at that and said okay and didn't notice it was wrong. All right, Michael Young's comments. Marika, my analysis was he was talking about the section on the comments on the last proposed report. Is that the way you read it also? Because he's talking about the ones numbered 1 to 57, and that's the only place that applies.
Right, this is Marika. That's what I assumed as well, looking at it. I first thought he was maybe only talking about the public comment review tool, and he wanted that reorganized. But then reading your email, I think indeed he wanted to reorganize the whole section, which would then basically show for each of the recommendations, I think, more clearly the comments made and changes made. But that, I think, as you noted, that I think would take quite some work to do that, and I don't know if it necessarily makes it easier for people that have not commented or haven't been closely involved in the process to then really read the recommendations. Well, I think those that actually made the recommendations should probably see in the comment review tool how we've addressed them. But that's just my point of view on that.
I think the substantive part of his comment, though, really was pointing out that we talk about the charter questions, but I don't think we have the charter questions there. Do you know what number this is, where this is in the document? I'm scrolling through and I don't see it offhand.
Sorry, I'm not sure what you're referring to.
I find it now. Around page 45 is an example. You've grouped these with grade sections that talk about the recommendations as they apply to each charter question. I don't think you actually put the text in of the charter question in this table, though. And I think that's the largest part of his comment.
Okay. Well, that can be done. It just means that it becomes substantially larger. I mean, the other way would be just to refer people back to other sections of the documents where those questions are spelled out.
Yeah, all you have to do before the first occurrence of charter question one in a grade box, put a new box immediately preceding it showing the charter question. So it really only adds five boxes to the whole table. He's asking for a bit more than that, but I don't really think his second section he seems to want the recommendations echoed twice in the table, and I think that's overkill. But if prior to the first occurrence of charter question one you show what the question is, I think that addresses to a large extent his overall concern that someone reading it from scratch doesn't quite make the relations. James?
Hi. So James speaking. Thanks, Alan. So not very, not really weighing in one way or the other on what Michael is proposing, and I think he may even be onto something here, but I had two thoughts about, changing the structure of the document at this point. First is, that if we deviate too far from the document that everybody commented on, the first and second round, I think that we're going to introduce some confusion when a new final report comes, and even if that materially is saying the same thing, it doesn't look anything like the documents that people have reviewed in previous public comment cycles. And, the second thing is I think that we need to be mindful of how much work this is going to be and our goal to, get this thing wrapped up close as possible after Singapore, and what that's going to take away from as far as staff, reworking this document. So, just those two points of caution before we dive in with what he's recommending. I'm not saying he doesn't have some good ideas here. I think he does, and perhaps these are things that we should save them for future reports. But I think swapping horses midstream on this report might introduce more confusion than it solves. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, James. I think the main issue he's raising, however, is just that we make reference to the charter questions but don't show the text. So we can fix that by adding five sentences, you know, five boxes into that one table.
I mean, if it's cosmetic, and I guess it would mean that
it's completely, completely cosmetic. It's inserting five lines in the table.
Okay, well, then I'm okay with that. I would just be not really, you know, we don't want this to go through a restructuring process and the document, even though it's saying the same thing, comes out the other side looking completely unfamiliar to...
His suggestion, if I read it correctly, is really just saying make sure that someone who is interested enough to read the public comments that came out can, since they're making reference to the charter questions, put the text of the charter questions there so they doesn't have to, they don't have to flip back to find them.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess I would.
He's asking for a little more than that, but I don't. I think that, as I said, I think that's gilding the lily a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And in terms of the change, I was suggesting of reordering the charter, reordering the recommendations. As a historic document, this is what people are going to look at, not the prior report, so I think it's important to make this one legible and understandable. So even though it does rejuggle them, as long as we have reference to the old ones, I think we're okay. Marika?
Yeah, it is, Marika. I think, indeed, and it's not so hard to make that change here, and probably I'll need to look down as well at the actual public common review tool to see there if we actually... noted down the charter questions, and I don't think it'll take too much time. Although, being realistic, if people get this far in the document, if they don't know by that time which questions we're addressing, then they definitely weren't paying attention in the first 40 pages.
Yes, but not all of us have memorized them like you have. We're at the end of the comments that were submitted by me and Michael. Is there anything else before we ask Marika to do a final version that we'll have a couple of days to look at for any typos or other nits and lock it up and send it off? Marika?
Yes, this is Marika. So if I can maybe then suggest a timing on that, if you can give some to the mailing list and the ordering of the recommendations. I think you said you were able to do that later today.
I will.
I can probably turn the document around tomorrow, take into account the comments we discussed today, and put it out for review. And then the question is, how long do people want to review that final version before we actually just send it to the council and publish it?
Well, I would say typos... you can probably give us till Monday on. Anything which is any more than a typo, I think that people better get it to the list by Friday, your Friday morning at the latest. Does that sound reasonable?
Okay. So then basically Tuesday would be the publication date if nothing major happens or is raised between now and then.
Yeah. I mean, for careful reading, weekends are good from my point of view anyway, but I wouldn't want to see anything substantive change at that point.
Okay. And then, but we'll still need to add, and I'm sure Gisela and Christine and Glenn will be working on that in the meantime, is the attendance sheet that will need to be updated, and we'll include
right.
it as well.
Oh, yes.
Is there anything else we need to cover, folks? If not, we'll end it after 15 minutes, and this will be... Does anyone see any reason why we need to meet next week?
Not that I can predict, no.
Well, barring something that comes up that needs a real consensus call on the phone, so I would ask you all to keep the at least first half hour of the meeting for next week open, but at this point we will not schedule one, and this will be the last official meeting of this group. And if that is indeed the case, I thank you all for your stamina, if nothing else, and your working in good faith to get us here. James? Marika, yes, go ahead.
If I could just remind everyone that the presentation to the GNSO Council of the Final Report is scheduled for Saturday, 18th of June, from 2 to 2:45 local time, and course, you know, all working group members are welcome to join that session, and presumably there might be questions from the council that will be helpful to have some people there to respond to or discuss.
Marika, is there much that has to be done other than adding the new recommendations and the rewording to the presentation that we'll be using from the one in San Francisco?
No, I don't think so.
And I'm happy to change the next steps.
Right. Right, and I'm happy to update that and send that around for people to have a look at.
Okay. Thank you. James?
Yeah, so if just to confirm that aside from that presentation to council, we're not planning any convening of this group in Singapore?
I'm hoping there's going to be a good bar that we may want to convene
at. The bar.
Okay, socially, I think I was going to...
I was not planning a meeting.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to confirm that. And, yes, I fully support the idea that we should meet socially.
As someone reminded me the other day, I was never actually made chair of this group.
Yeah.
As the acting chair, I'll be happy to pay for a round of drinks for everyone.
I was going to say, that sounds like a slippery way of getting out of a bar tab.
No. I said, even as acting chair, I'm quite willing to do it.
All right, well.
Is there some sort of bar tab thing that has to do with chairs? I never heard of that. Mikey's here.
Well, Mikey, I know you're going to want to avoid it because you tend to be chair of a number of groups here and there, but... This acting chair is grateful enough that I'm very happy to do that.
Well, thank you, everyone, and thank you, Alan, and look forward to seeing some folks in Singapore and toasting the end of this process.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I thank you very much.
Yeah, way to go, Alan.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, folks.
Well, bye-bye.
Bye.
Look forward to seeing you all when I do see you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Bye.